Our school is cool.
100% respect.
For 100% of the people.
100% of the time.
Wait, we're not perfect.
What are you trying to say, huh?
You know, like Hannah Montana sings, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody gets those days. Everybody gets that way. Yeah.
Okay, Ashley.
The point is, we are not an ideal place, a paradise, or a dreamland for gay kids, but kinda close. If you see a same-sex couple in our school, it's not a big deal. And we have a GSA, Gay Straight Alliance Group.
Are you a member of Rainbow Bright?
Yes, because I just feel safer instead of around homophobic guys in my grade. And it's just like, I feel natural in that environment.
That's Marquise. He's a ninth grader. Have you ever seen anyone being bullied because of his or her sexual orientation?
Yes, actually, one of the eighth graders that go to Eastside.
That surprises me.
I defended him at the beginning, and it was just, you guys don't say nothing to me, but you guys say something to him because he's in the same grade as you.
It's rare someone gets bullied here, but if it happens, people try to stand up for each other, like Marquise did. The staff and principal make sure we all understand that we need to feel completely safe.
My name is Mark Fetterman, and I am the principal here.
He works his butt off, and once, he even camped out in front of the school to raise money for the students.
In addition to that, I think we also just really have no tolerance. Even when we ask teachers, one of the things, interview questions, when we ask teachers when they come to the school, is we ask them, are they comfortable talking to a child about their sexuality or making sure that that child gets support, and are they comfortable making sure that they understand that every single school, every single classroom has to be a safe space, that we can't allow homophobic language, we can't even allow homophobic conversations. You can send homophobic messages in very subtle ways.
The teachers in our school don't assume that a boy has a girlfriend or a girl has a boyfriend. And when someone says something like, ugh, that's so gay, teachers and staff will come in and tell them why that's not acceptable.
What is your name? How old are you? And what grade are you in?
My name is Nicole. I am in ninth grade. I am 15 years old.
When Nicole was in middle school, there wasn't any support.
I go to Gramercy Arts High School.
There are more homophobic kids in middle school than in high school, especially when you start to learn more about sexuality. It even happens in our middle school, but at least we have Rainbow Bright.
When I first had came out,
for Nicole, she felt uncomfortable and she was getting bullied, but she had to go through it alone.
It was like in my eighth grade year. People like made fun of me and stuff like that. So yeah, it was complicated in school.
Can you recall an incident when you were bullied at school?
Actually, I was. It was in middle school, and there was this one girl who kept bothering me, and it was like a life or death situation for me, because the girl was like, she did cyberbullying and bullying at the same time. So she threatened that she was going to like kill me with a knife, and what ended up happening was she came to school that day, and she had the knife, and she was like a few seconds away from like killing me, and all it was prevented because of the security guards at my school.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
I wanna cry, that's nuts.
I didn't expect to cry.
I gave you a hug.
That's not supposed to happen.
I'm so sad. I'm really so sad. I'm sorry I have to go through that.
I kept thinking this shouldn't be happening in our schools. It's depressing to know that something like this could happen to someone so nice and friendly.
An incident where someone gets killed or hurt because of their sexuality, like Nicole's story, is something you would expect to hear on the news. Just a few days after we visited Nicole at the YGSA program, and just a few blocks away, a gay man was shot in the face and killed. We don't go to rallies, but we went to this one because we wanted to find out how people can get rid of homophobia and gain equality for the LGBTQ.
What is your name, age, and where are you from?
My name is Marjorie Reitman, and I'm 67.
This is the village. This shouldn't happen anymore. I'm sorry, it just upsets me. I'm not gay. It's about living together, and you don't like somebody who's gay. You don't like somebody who's black, Asian, tall, short. Who cares? Leave them alone. You know?
What do you think it would take for someone who's homophobic to become more understanding and acceptant of LGBTQ community?
Logically, it would take a brain transplant. But in reality, I think what it would take is just people speaking up. You know, don't get in somebody's face if you think they're going to hurt you, but just kind of say, do you understand what you just said? Do you know what it really means and how you're hurting people? That's the only way to do it. It has to be one by one by one. And it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Hope it happens in yours. You know. Let's say a friend of yours makes a homophobic or racist or sexist comment. What do you do? And what do you really do in real life?
I'm like, honestly, I actually don't know what I would do.
I would want to help them, but it can be difficult.
It depends on the right kind of person at the right moment and someone who's ready to listen for change to happen.
Like, me and Danielle, we're besties. Exactly. Like, we're best friends.
Bree is confident and outspoken. Danielle is giggly, and they're kind of fun.
You? No, you.
I'm from Congo.
Danielle was 13 when she came from the Congo.
Yeah.
And she didn't know anything about LGBTQ rights. If someone came out in the Congo, their parents would probably kick them out and they might get beaten.
To the LGBTQ.
Bree is a part of a gay straight alliance club. Bree took Danielle to a GSA meeting. Danielle was surprised.
Well, I didn't even know. I was like, why did I just put myself into? And I went back home. I was talking to my stepmom about it, and she was like, lesbian, gay, and she started like talking about it. She was like, that's not good. Why would you be friends with them? I was like, I shouldn't even go there anymore. I'm not gonna go because I don't like that.
I have seen in society that it's sometimes hard to change people's minds because of the way they grew up believing a certain way or because of their families or cultures.
But at the end of the day, when I started like going more, if I have any questions to ask them, I will ask them, and they'll be happy to answer me. Like, we're all the same. We think the same. Why would I hate them? So I just started going. But at first, I didn't like it.
Danielle kept going because of a friend, Bree.
And one day, I saw this guy. They was kissing. I started screaming. I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Stop. And but I kept staring at them. Like, every time I see them, I just be like, oh, my God.
So were you homophobic? Like, when you first came to the U.S. and you saw that, did you want to stay away from them? Like, so you were homophobic. This is an example.
Yes.
Of a homophobic person who is now a part of the LGBT community. You have risen above the influence, Danielle. Congratulations.
Just this week, I tried talking to a friend who was saying mean things about gay people. I told him, I don't understand why you think being gay is not right. What you say can end up hurting someone. I tried explaining to him that anyone can be who they want to be, but he wouldn't listen, and it frustrated me that I wasn't able to get through to him.
If only there could be more people like Danielle and Bree, and principals like ours, maybe we wouldn't have to go to a rally like the one for Mark Carson.
I agree. If it was my brother or cousin,
or me,
I would want someone to stand up for them and make sure they're safe. For WNYC, I'm rookie reporter Ashley Laguerre,
Winnie Fernandez,
Keisha Guillaume,
and Jackson Gonzalez.